We're going to read out of Matthew chapter 11. And this may sound familiar to you. Matthew chapter 11, 28. If you don't have your Bible, don't worry. Got it on the big screen in the back. Jesus says, words of Jesus, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light." Love how the Message version puts it. It says, the words of Jesus put it this way. He says, "Are you tired?" Turn to your neighbor. She's like, "Are you tired?" Now, turn to your other neighbor and say, "Are you worn out? You worn out?" Just turn to someone and just say, "You look worn out today." Go ahead, "You look worn out today." I spoke to our leaders this morning, and I was talking about high yield, low maintenance. And I was like, turn to someone and just be like, "I just love how low maintenance you are today." I made a lot of enemies this morning. Okay. Are you tired? You worn out? Listen to this. Burned out on religion. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I love that real rest. Real rest, insinuation is some fake rest. We're going to dive into the reality of that today. Walk with me. Work with me. These are some interesting things. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting. Love that. On you. Keep company with me. Keep company with me. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words, lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I thank you, God, for this word and season. Lord, I thank you how you're using it to minister to us, helping us, God, to walk in your unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. Help us, Lord, to not walk in great striving or great effort, but Lord, help us to know what it is to walk in a way, Lord, that is led by you. I pray that there'd be a supernatural impartation, God, of your word. Not even necessarily from what I say, but Holy Spirit, how you just use words and even the gathering of the saints, God, to minister and accomplish so much more in the spirit than we could even see in the natural. Let us not walk out of here the same way we walked in, God, but help us to know you closer, to know you better. And for some, maybe to know you for the first time. Let salvation be upon your house in this service today. And last, but maybe least, we pray for the Dallas Cowboys to win their game tomorrow night. And everybody said amen. Amen. Before you grab your seat, just turn to someone and just say, you know what? You don't look worn out today. Go ahead. Just say, you don't. You don't look worn out. You look just right. Turn to someone and say, you look just right. Just say, you look just right. Come on. Maybe turn to someone and just say, I think I love you. Go ahead. Just... I think I love you. You always feel weird. There's like a whole, you know what I mean? There's like, it could be like a brother and sister. You just never know. You always presume they're a couple. Praise God. Anyway, I started a sermon last week called The Rest of the Year. The Rest of the Year. Not just talking about what's to come, but I was talking about rest. Amen. We're in our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Has that been blessing you? Yes. The podcast is pretty good. Some of our team recorded one. I think I recorded one. I don't know if they're going to use it. You know, sometimes you leave stuff on the editing floor. I encouraged us this past week to talk about this thing called the Sabbath, this cease time, this stop time, this time of rest. And I was like, rest as being non-productive time. Did anybody do that? Let me ask you something. Let me put it to you like this. Did anybody do anything this week? All right. Did anybody do nothing this week? If you know, you know, right? Yeah, so 5 minutes after the devotional, I just said, just sit and just do nothing. Just find rest, right? I talked about the Sabbath last week. Shabbat, me coming from Shavat, which means to cease, to desist, to stop. Here are my three quick points from last week, just to catch you up. Just because if you came today for the first time, you know what? I want you to be in the know, okay? My 3 points last week were Sabbath is about a day of rest. Number two, Jesus is Lord over the Sabbath, Matthew 12, verse 8. Number three, we don't have a New Testament obligation to keeping the Sabbath. Mark 2:27 says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so Jesus was bringing out, he's almost taking off the burden of the obligation of the Sabbath. It says, you know, the emphasis was in the New Testament time coming from the Old Testament understanding. The emphasis was that you are not made for the Sabbath. Like, you don't have an obligation to it anymore under this grace and the better covenant that we live in. But I actually think that the emphasis in 2023 should actually be the other part, the first part, which is also still true, that the Sabbath was made for you. The Sabbath was made for you. It's an opportunity. There's power in it. Amen. We talked a little bit about Ecclesiastes 4:6 last week. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. My big question was this. Could it be that in our modern day pursuit of maximizing every moment, we're actually winding up with less on our own strength than the more we could have in resting in God's strength. Amen. Is this helping anybody? Last week was good? Yes. I want to do part two today, okay? And so last week, rest, talking about what you stop. Now, I want to be clear with my words. Last week, in understanding Shabbat, it was about what we stop. Now, I did not say rest isn't what you take off. And my premise today is actually that the full understanding of rest that Jesus has for us is not by what you take off, but actually what he calls us to put on. All right, I have something here. Caleb, you have me? Give it up for Caleb. Give me this blanket. It's a nice blanket. Who likes a blanket? Yes, blankets are nice, aren't they? How many blankets do you have on your couch? Like 15. Yeah. Who said one? Get out. It's the wrong answer. This is not a normal blanket. Okay? This is a weighted blanket. Who here has a weighted blanket? Do you see the ringing endorsement for this? Who here has never even heard about a weighted blanket? Like, raise your hand if you've never heard about a weighted one. Anybody else haven't heard about it? Okay, you haven't? Okay. Ma'am, what's your name? Yeah. Monica? Oh, Mana. I was like, Monica. No. Mana. Wow. I'm talking about Mana later in my sermon. Anyway, you've never even heard of this. Okay, you know what a blanket is, right? You do, yeah. Like, see that down coat right next to you? Is that yours or hers? Just grab it. It don't matter. Just grab that. Yeah, just grab that coat. I talked with her before service. She's cool with it. Just grab it, and just lay it on you for a second. I just want to give you a frame of reference. Yeah, just that's basically a blanket. Just lay it on you. Just lay it on you. Blanket vibes. Blanket vibes. Okay. Help me. Grab a side of this. Now, Mana. Oh, good Lord. Listen, I'm about to put the glory of the Lord on you. Okay. All right. Ready? All right. Get ready to receive. Lay your head back. You're about to receive the unction. Okay. Ready? Just receive that. That's nice, ain't it? You feel that? It's a weight. You feel that? I need that back. I need give me that.
Oh, shoot. Security. Where James at? What happened? Hans, come on, bro.
Anybody else want to feel this? Anybody else? Don't front. Yeah. You a dancer too? I know you need this. This is good for you. Here you go. Just. Boom.
You feel that?
See, I know you. I know I'm going to get this back from you. I'm going to let you keep it, okay? Yeah, Mana, I don't trust you. Listen, I'm just being real. I know her. I don't know you. Weighted blanket. Did a little bit of research, which just means I Googled. Why is this weighted blanket a thing? It's supposed to help you with anxiety and restlessness. It actually provides a therapeutic value. Here's what I read. It says it calms your nerves. That pressure from the blanket actually triggers a nervous system response that lowers your heart rate and your breathing rate when you're anxious. It actually triggers natural chemical production. That the pressure, someone say the pressure, triggers your, yeah, I don't know why I said it like that either. It triggers your brain to release serotonin. Who loves some good serotonin? I need that serotonin in me. And oxytocin. Who loves some good oxy? All right, calm down now. Which helps your mind and your body calm down and your mood steady. Improves your immune system response, eases pains and stress, helps you sleep. The bottom line of it is what I read is this, is that the pressure of the weighted blanket puts your autonomic, thank you, Caleb. It puts your autonomic nervous system, listen to this, which is your fight or flight system. It puts your autonomic nervous system into rest mode. What are we talking about today? My premise today is we just scratched the surface of understanding the picture of rest that God has for you last week. And then actually, though the Sabbath means to stop, to cease, I want us to have an understanding of the nuance, because the rest that God wants you to know is not just simply taking things off of your life, but actually a part of the picture for the rest that God wants you to know is how you can put the right things on your life. And could it be that blanket makers are just now tapping into something that the Creator, our God, actually knew what he was doing and designed in designing us, understood this, that the right weight brings the right rest. The right weight brings the right rest. Now, don't get it twisted. The Sabbath, come on. I want you to have it. I want you to have one. Honey, I told the church last week about, like, I really want us, like, to have this conversation. And I figured now would be the best time when there's peer pressure involved. I think it'd be really cool if we actually had a day, right? Hebrew understanding of a day, sundown to sundown. Like, I think it'd be really great if we had a day a week that was rest. Like a whole day. There's a CG we can sign up for. And they'll feed us. I want that for you. I want that to be in the rhythm of your life. That you know what it is to have a completeness, a day of nothing, because that's a part of the rhythm of the plan that I believe that God wants all of us to have in some shape or fashion, so that we can truly get to know of the goodness of God like I talked about last week. Amen. But today, I want to talk about the other 6 days. Because the Sabbath day of rest and understanding was one day. And I want you to understand something about God. God's plan for you is not to have one really good day of rest and then scrambling the other 6 days and despair the other 6 days and tired and worn out, burned out. God wants the rhythm of rest flowing throughout every part and every day of your life. But how do we do that? Okay, let's talk about some things. Number one, Jesus calls us to put on weight. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to put on some weight. Come on. Are you putting on some weight? Pastor said that Jesus wanted me to put on some weight. Jesus calls us to put on weight. What am I talking about? Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary, and carry these heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Cool, right? Yes, I'm weary. I'm burdened. I want to come to Jesus. I know he's going to give me rest. The very next verse. Everybody say the very next verse. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you is the very next thing he says. But you just said rest. Yep. I'm going to give you rest. Step one, take my yoke. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. But rest is not no yoke. And it is not no weight. It's just the right yoke and the right weight. All right, Caleb, I love you, bro. Let's talk. Come on, come on, let's go. You've definitely seen this. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm just trying to make sure that we're all on the same page of understanding what the yoke is. The yoke was for tilling the soil. Two yokes, two oxen, okay? And so farmer hack, here's what the farmers would do, right? Anybody farm? Of course not. This is Richmond, Virginia, 2023. But we had a better understanding of that in that day. And so farmer hack, a farmer would never put a young yoke with a young yoke, I'm sorry, a young ox with a young ox, because that's going to be ridiculous, okay? And the farmer would also not put an old ox with another old ox. The farmer would always put one old ox, one older, mature, wise. Like, you guys know about dad strength, right? It's a real thing. I got three kids. It's a real thing, okay? Right, Caleb? Yeah. Mature, wise, humble, yeah. The oxen had a tendency to get better looking as they aged. I don't know. I can't explain it. And then pair them up with a young, just dumb, just silly goose, immature little ox, right? And why is that? Well, it was about pace and direction. It's about pace and direction, okay? The tendency of a young ox was it would like easily get distracted and it would want to just like go off any single way. And so the mature ox, because they were yoked together, kept him going in the right direction. But it wasn't just direction. It was actually about pace. Because guess what young oxen like to do? They love to just... They just love to jet, right? They love to scoot, scoot. And so, as you know, young ox just, okay, chill. Right? And so, the older ox would actually keep not just the direction right, but the pace right. Okay? Give it up for Caleb one time. Come on. And so, I love what the Message version says, come to me all who are weary, walk with me. Jesus is wanting to show us that how we get the kind of rest that he's talking about throughout our week is when we know how it is, what it is to be yoked up to him. I don't know if you've figured out yet which one of those two ox you are in this dynamic. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're the young, dumb one. Jesus is the mature, solid, straight north, true north one, okay? And so I love how it says walk with me. It doesn't say run with me. Because you don't run with Jesus, you walk with Jesus. It doesn't say stand with me either. Because we don't stand with Jesus, we walk with Jesus. So we're not in a rush. Have you ever considered the fact, I love this, Jesus was never in a hurry. I love this great truth. Even in the midst of great despair and great trouble and great difficulty, Jesus has never recorded in the scriptures as running. He found out one of his good friends, Lazarus, was dead. Jesus, he says, I don't have to leave right now. He waits 2 days in where he was at before he goes to go be with him and bring him back from the dead. Do you want to know why Jesus was never in a hurry? This will bless you. It's because Jesus already knows the ending to your story.
God is not in a rush with you because he already knows how the story ends. Amen? We are restless because we are uncertain. And so Jesus is saying, hey, you have restlessness in your life. You have unsettledness in your life. There is anxiety in your life, and you're going to find yourself never wanting to rest, always trying to make up for it out of your own effort because you have not discovered what it is to yoke yourself up to King Jesus. Abiding rest comes from abiding nearness. What is the point of the yoke? It's to get you so close to Christ that you couldn't veer off if you wanted to. And the abiding rest that Jesus has for you comes out of an abiding nearness. I don't know about you, but I come in on a Sunday and I get filled up. I get encouraged. I do get strengthened. I do feel empowered. But you know what else I get? I get this sense of rest. I get this sense of rejuvenation. I get the sense of the things that are super duper heavy. I get those things and they become lighter on me. But what happens when Wednesday comes around? Forgotten all about. What is that? Can I tell you, it's not Jesus having left you. It's not Jesus having stopped walking with you. No. It's us deciding we have stopped walking with Jesus. And we go out of our own way. We go in our own direction and we go at our own pace. Jesus says, get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Here's another weird one. Jesus calls us to work. I knew I wouldn't get any handcuffs for that. I even tried to sell it with my smile. Jesus says, you want rest? Walk with me. Jesus says, you want rest? Work with me. Okay. I said last week how God created man on the sixth day and God chose to rest on the seventh. That man's first day of existence, really ultimately, in our understanding of a day, was a rest day. And I said this, that we don't work so that one day we can rest. We don't work all week so that, man, we can get a rest day. No. We rest to work. That means two things. Number one, rest comes first. So our strength comes out of starting with rest. But guess what? The second understanding of that phrase is that we rest so that we can work. Rest comes first. Work comes next. And in comes the baby in a baby carriage. Praise God. Work is a part of the plan of God for us. And the principle of the Sabbath is a day of rest, but the other 6 days, the Bible calls us to work in the way that Colossians 3:23 says to work. It says that work as though we are working with God. Work as though we are working with God. We are created for work. We're talking about rest. Here's the big idea. Work is not at odds with the rest that God wants you to have. I'm gonna say it again. Work is not at odds with the rest that God wants you to have. Amen. When you think about rest, just in the abstract, and you paint the picture of what it looks like for you to have some rest, what do most of us immediately go to? We think about being in the Dominican, all-inclusive, you know what I'm saying? Like just chilling in a room, no time to wake up, just like sleeping in. Someone comes to your room, serves you breakfast in bed. Who likes breakfast in bed? Anybody like breakfast in bed? Yeah. All right, put your hand down. Who is repulsed by the idea of breakfast in bed? Yeah, there's more of us than there is of you all. I hate the idea of food in my bed. Like, can you imagine just in the middle of the night, just like tossing like a crumb, just digging up on your hip? Oh, does it get worse than that? Yuck. Okay. Some of us think about this thing about God giving us breakfast in bed, and you think that's rest. Can I tell you what that is? Not rest. Can I tell you what it is? You know what it's most like in the Bible? It's not the place of rest. You want to know what it's like? It's like the place of wilderness. What am I talking about? The Israelites freed from captivity of Egypt,
And they find themselves for 40 years wandering, trying to get to the promised land in the wilderness. And because of God's graciousness, he does provide some great breakfast in bed. Every day they get some quail. They wake up to a bowl of frosted flakes in the morning for breakfast. Like, hallelujah, can I get an amen? But that picture of provision, not the promised land, that's the wilderness. You're fed, but it wasn't God's best. Can I tell you about the promised land? The promised land, it was the end of the supernatural breakfast in bed. It was the end of the source of heat all the nights of their days. It was the end of like just gallivanting and travel. And it was the beginning of battles of fighting for their full conquering of the land. It was the beginning of crops and flocks to tend, call that crop a flocka. It was the beginning of houses to build and maintain, and it was the beginning of all the other work. It was not called the wilderness. Can I tell you what it's called? It's, yes, the promised land. Can I tell you what else it's called? Psalms 95. For 40 years, the Lord says, I was angry with them. And I said, these are a people whose hearts have turned away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. That place is the place that God calls his place of rest. The promised land is work. And yet, God calls it that's my place of rest. We have had such a fractured understanding of the full picture of the rest that God wants us to have. Because God is not looking for you to have just a slither of rest once a week, every week. God is wanting you to understand that when you've yoked up to him, when you understand his weight is not burdensome, it is not heavy. How heavy was that weighted blanket? It's got some weight to it, but guess what? You can just toss that thing if you want it. No. There are pressures and there's weights of our lives that really are burdensome. Can I tell you, those are not the things he wants you to put on, but he does not want you to just be vacant, empty, so that whatever thought or idea may float on the inside of your mind and soul. No. He's saying, take on the right things. Put on the right weight. Put on the right yoke. Put on the right work. And when you put on the right things, then you can get the right rest. For the people of God, entering into God's rest meant living in the land of promise, living under his umbrella of protection, which still included work. Work with me. There is almost a paradox if you just read it on the surface. You weary, you're tired, come to me. That makes sense. Cool, yeah. You weary, you're tired, walk with me. Cool, I can do a little like elegant stroll. That makes sense. If you're weary, you're tired, work with me. Huh? Because in our understanding, if someone's tired, what do? We give them a pillow. We give him a weighted blanket. He says, you're tired. You're weary. Come work with me. And we have made an enemy of things that God never intended for us to make an enemy with. Our Western way of rest is looking for freedom. If I could just get everything off of me, and if I'm free of all these things, man, then I could find rest. No, Jesus says, no, you don't find rest from casting off your yoke. You find rest by yoking up to him. It's about keeping you two together. He wants you abiding in him. And I love this. This is really kind of my last point. You will find rest when you're yoked up to him. The right yoke, the right rest. Why is that? Because when you yoke up to Jesus, you are yoked up to God who knows you better than anyone else will know you. When you're yoked up to Jesus, you are yoked up, you're connected, you're abiding in someone who knows you better than any other thing could know you. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. I love how Jesus knows like our best fit. Amen. I love that Jesus cares about our fit. I won't lay anything ill-fitting on you. That Jesus knows your measurements. Think about that. Look, I've been married to my wife for like 12 years. I'm gonna be honest with you. Right now, I don't know what size shoe you wear. 9? Dang it, it's so close, yet so far. Yeah, you can wear some 9s. I'm there. Yeah, Jesus, it is outside of his character to put anything that's ill-fitting, that doesn't fit you right on you. Why? Because he knows you better than anyone else knows you. Think about that for a second. He knows your body better than anyone else knows your body. Turn to your neighbor. Stop. JK. Which means he has the keys to your weariness and your tiredness. Okay. He knows your mind better than anyone else, which means he has the keys to your anxiety and your depression. He has the keys to how you, I'm sorry, he knows how you relate to people better than anyone else knows how you relate to people, which means he has the keys to your friendships, to your family relationships, and to your marriage. Let's just see how controversial we can go. He knows about your sexuality more than anyone else knows about your sexuality, which means he has the keys to you having full sexual fulfillment. Can we talk? I guess not. And so Jesus does not say, are you weary? I'll get you out of here. Evac, exfil. No. Jesus says, I know you so well, better than anyone else knows you, that if you yoke up to me, I will walk you in the ways that fit you just right. I will lead you in the land that is resting for you because I know what brings you rest better than anyone else will do it. Rest is not escaping. It comes from putting on the right yoke. And the God, I'm closing, who wants us to know rest, listen to this. He doesn't offer us escape. He offers us the right equipment. His yoke, the right yoke, which is just for you. His weight, not a weight that will overwhelm you, not a weight that will overcome you, but a weight that you were made to be able to hold. His burden, he didn't say he would take off all the burdens, but he just said that there wouldn't be heavy ones. And I pray that as we walk in the truth of this, we wouldn't make an enemy out of weights or works. But as weight and work comes into our life the other 6 days of our week, that even through them, we'd be able to decree and declare, Lord, you are giving me rest for my soul. If you receive the word, give God some praise. Come on, worship team.